I'm Silva Harapetian. Welcome to my show. We talk ordinary people, extraordinary stories, living life on their own terms.
Hello, I'm Silva Harapetian. Welcome to another edition of the series that we've been doing during this pandemic. With me today is Jibril Agaro. And if you don't know this man, well, you know, you need to know.
Yo, this place is crazy.
Here's the thing. I've been doing a lot of these interviews and we've been talking about our mental health. We've been talking about our spiritual health. We've been talking about how to deal with the pandemic. But one of the things that we also have to do is talk about how to keep our mind sharp. And no one better to help us do that, particularly at a time when our economy is at such a downturn and so many people have lost their jobs, than this man who has been living the life of a digital nomad for more than 10 years already.
So people want to know, how can I start a business and be mobile and be able to travel around the world?
I have a marketing company with my business partner, John Pemberthy,
where he is a digital marketing entrepreneur.
And that's a multi-million dollar a year business.
He's the creator of Passport Heavy.
Hey, this is Jibril, founder of Passport Heavy.
And co-founder of Live Richer Academy.
There are so many women that are left out of the financial conversation.
What?
We about to ride out. That man was scared.
Judging from his joyful demeanor, you'd never guess the roller coaster that's been Jibril Agaro's life.
Oh, you're gonna say hello? Ooh.
He was placed in foster care when he was only 3 months old. He and his younger brother lived with the foster family in the UK until he was 9 years old.
You'll learn more about her as life goes on.
Most foster stories are like horrid and bad. Like mine, I was with, you know, same family from 0 to 9. I've seen my dad, a couple times a year as well. My mom would, like, when she got, like, I'd see my mom, like, you know, maybe like once a year.
Everything would change suddenly. His life uprooted once his biological mother was ready to take custody of Jibril and his brother, moving them back to Chicago.
You don't understand as a kid how hard, you know, it is for some people. And like looking back at my mom, you know, just like such a superhero, right?
10 people in all were killed by shooting.
My mom is giving me the warnings of, be careful. You know, that boy got shot the other day. You want to end up like them? You know.
A change that would weigh on young Jibril. But it would also help build resilience and character.
My whole world just shifts, like, instantly.
For years, Jibril watched his mother battle freezing Chicago winters, riding the bus to work 6 days a week, church on Sundays.
My mom, you know, she's a nursing assistant, a CNA, and, you know, never made really more than, like, $25,000, you know, a year at that time. And so with two kids, we don't really see like what a 16-hour shift means working in a hospital to come, and then to do it day after day. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, whoa, to have time to raise kids as a single mother, you're just like, holy, like the kind of overwhelm she must have been feeling in her mind was like, you just don't get it as like an 11-year-old kid. Whoa.
His family circumstances fueled his desire to want more, to be more, to do more. It ignited his entrepreneurial spirit.
Because where you start in life is not where you have to end up.
As a kid, the traumaticness of like being poor is something I could easily see. If everyone was poor around me, it would have been something else. But when you see kids coming to school with, you know, $100 shoes and all of these things and kids making fun of you because you don't have that stuff, can I swear on this?
Yeah, sure.
Like, no, that's like traumatic
as
a kid, right? And so I had to figure out at a young age how to flip it. And so I was going to school with these kids who were getting $5 a lunch, you know, a day for lunch, $10 for like, and I was like, yo, your parents giving you $10 a day for lunch? Man, this shit is crazy. And so I'm like, what the fuck? I would do things in the beginning. I'd buy Warheads for like $2 at Walgreens, and I'd make like $5 off of like just selling individual pieces of candy at kids to school. Buy low, sell high. How can I get creative? And that's what, you know, even before the whole internet journey, That's what happened before.
Yo, it's your boy Jabril, aka Mr. Think Outside the Box.
But Jabril's path to success wasn't easy, smooth, or overnight.
I had the arguments with my mom, you know, literally since I've been 14 or 15, and I've been telling her the internet is the way of the future, and, you know, her whole, and like, obviously, rightly so, she loves me and she wants what's best for me, but she couldn't see what I could see back in the day. And so, you know, she's like, no, you need to go to university. You absolutely need to go to university. She's like, no, but, you know, this internet thing is a fad. Like, you need to go get a real job and have a secure future.
I'm smashing my hands because I'm so upset when I be thinking about the prices that I be paying.
Mom might have been up to something there, but Jabril followed his instinct, didn't go to university, investing into one idea. At 21, he was a five-figure-a-month success story on eBay. It was that experience that taught him a monumental life lesson. It made him a whole lot of money, but it also left him homeless.
It was so bad where I'm like, I have like $10, $15 for the week, and I'm like, am I getting, like, eggs this week, or do I want to get this? Like, I'm in the store, and it's just, like, such a humbling place from, like, where I'm like, yo, I just had, you know, so much money in my bank account.
But this year, I'm turning 33 years old, and quite a few things have changed since then.
In the years that followed, he got a job, learned lead generation, marketing, the importance of mentors, partnerships, and building relationships. He learned the power and art of storytelling and took another big leap. As a marketer, this time, older, wiser, and most importantly, diversified, he has since built a $15 million empire, and for fun, he does all of it while globetrotting.
For the last 7 years, I've been traveling all around the world. I've been to Thailand, South America, but nothing will prepare me for the best beach that I've seen thus far. Let's just say we turned all the way up.
One of the reasons I wanted to talk to Jabril is because, first of all, he has helped me personally on my journey of transition from living in a life and having a business in the physical space, in the physical world, and doing business on one-on-one with clients, to shifting over to one on many and learning about ads and digital marketing. He's been instrumental in helping me understand that world. And that is an entirely different world for a lot of people to learn. And no time ever has it been more important for us to do that than now. What I love about Jabril is that he is the real deal. You hear people talk about digital marketers and their fronting and their cars and their houses and this and that or whatever else. You know what? Nothing is rented here. He actually shows you the numbers. He shows you how much money he spends on marketing and on his ads. He shows you what when he fails. He shows you when he succeeds. He is the real deal. And in my opinion, in the digital marketing space, one of the most underrated people that exists. So thank you so much for joining me today. I'm so happy to have you. I know you are super, super, super busy during this pandemic when people are out of jobs and are trying to figure out what to do with their time. There isn't enough time in the day for you and the work that you've been doing. Is that correct?
It's busier than ever. I really appreciate that amazing introduction. Thank you so much. And yeah, I mean, life is super busy right now. I mean, business is actually better than ever. And yeah, there's just so much still going on. So, yeah, I mean, that statement is true. It's busy, but I feel like life has slowed down for me a lot because there's just not as much outside noise. And yeah. So I don't have that, what we kind of talk about off camera is FOMO. I don't have the fear of missing out on something. There's no event to rush to. There's no, you know, I'm not jumping on planes. So
right.
With all of that, even though I'm busy, I've had more time now to, you know, catch up with loved ones, which has been great, and just friends that I haven't talked to. And a chance I feel like I've been more present than ever.
This is a time when people are really looking at their lives and their livelihoods, whether mm-hmm. they are an entrepreneur and have a brick and mortar business, or they have been in the service industry, or if they work for a big company or a medium-sized company, and they're finding themselves in a place where they haven't been before. Now, those of us who experienced the 2008 market crash, right? The economic downturn in 2008, some of us, including me, I was laid off. And that was the beginning for me of understanding and knowing that I needed to have a series of different things in place in order for me to survive not just an economic downturn, but also take the power away from someone else making a decision about if I had a job or if I had an income. So my journey in that digital space began in 2008, 2009. It's interesting for you to say that you've been busy. The question is, how is this possible when people are losing their jobs, when people have no income? How are you busy when everybody else is experiencing something different?
Well, it's so, like, for example, my life has been online digital for about 20 years. Like, I made my first, you know, my first money online as a teenager. And so everything, my life hasn't really changed too much. So I have all of, pretty much all of my businesses are online, you know, and digital. So, for example, one of the companies you mentioned in the beginning is my Live Richer Academy. I have a financial education company with my business partner, Tiffany the Budgetista, where we teach about budgeting, saving, estate plans, student loans, all these things, financial education. And then the way that we monetize it is we have an online membership site where, you know, it's like $30 a month. And so just an incredible value. And then so for us with advertising, that's how we've been able to scale up, you know, our business. And so we have about 35,000 members, you know, within our academy right now and growing. And then even during, like, you know, something like a pandemic, which is, you know, obviously there's no one in the world right now that's not affected by, you know, the pandemic. Mm-hmm. If it's for, you know, for worse, which is, you know, which is a lot of people or some people, you know, it's better. So, like, especially if you're in the online digital space, it's the reason also a lot of these retailers are having such trouble right now, because once they can't sell, you know, people walking through the door, it's, you know, they go to nothing, while, you know, companies like Amazon are seeing, like, record numbers because of the way that they've set up their business. And it's just been, I really believe in the online space. I had the arguments with my mom, you know, literally since I've been 14 or 15, and I've been telling her the internet is the way of the future, and, you know, her whole, and, like, obviously, rightly so, she loves me and she wants what's best for me, but she couldn't see what I could see back in the day. And so, you know, she's like, no, you need to go to university. You absolutely need to go to university. And I was like, Mom, like, I see the point, and that's the way I believe before it, but the things that I've seen with my eyes and the things that I've experienced, the money that I've made, she's like, no, but, you know, this internet thing is a fad. Like, you need to go get a real job and have a secure future. And, you know, that was her whole argument. And, you know, fast forward, you know, kind of 20 years later, you know, everything that I'm saying is kind of coming, yeah, you know, to fruition even bigger.
Now, I don't want to paint this experience and this lifestyle with a, you know, beautiful brush of how wonderful and easy it is, because it is not. Let's just be truthful and real about this, right? We hear about this all the time. People make it sound easy, but it's really not. The truth of the matter is, when you get to the other side of it, to the success side of it, it is an incredible life to live, which is exactly what you show us is possible. But it is a journey. I don't want to give people the impression that you can just decide today that you want to be a digital nomad and you can just quit your job in a year. Because the truth is, I myself, it took me about good 6 years before I even felt comfortable enough to leave and not have another full-time paycheck from someone else to sustain myself. So it is a process. And part of that is mastering what it is that you're doing and mastering the process of how an online business works, because it is extremely different than how the world works. Even the way you sell is different. The way you write is different. The way you tell stories is different. Can you talk to me a little bit about the switch that has to happen in interacting with people in the real world versus interacting with people online?
You make a really good point, because, like, even myself, like, I had a really fast start. Like, an incredible start. Like, within my first like year and a half, I was making, you know, over, you know, five figures a month. Like, and so, but then I had a massive, massive crash as well. So, because I started on eBay, and I was an eBay power seller. And so this is in the early 2000s, and things were just took off, like, from the jump. And I was like, wow, this is great. I am the coolest person in the world. Like, nobody can tell me anything. Like, I'm just like, you know, this thing is super easy. And so eBay changed their algorithms. My whole business that I thought, like, was untouchable then went to caca. Like, I wasn't even making money. The inventory that I had, everything was not doing the same. And at that point, I realized I was a one-trick pony, and everything that I had was reliant upon eBay to get my sales. And then I realized, I was like, wow, so if eBay changes something, or eBay shuts down my account, eBay, it was like, I didn't know how to sell my products any other way. And it was like an aha moment for me. It wasn't just then like, okay, I don't know. But then I didn't know how to do anything. Because then I moved out of my house when things were going good. And I was like, I'm the coolest. My mom was like, hey, if you don't go to university, you have to leave the house. And I was like, I got money, I'll leave them. You know, and then 2 years later, I come crawling back. Well, I didn't even tell my mom. I was just like, hey, yeah, I want to come back. You know, just coming back to visit. And then it was like, when I was there like 3 weeks, she was like, aren't you going back to your house? And I was like, no, I just want to stay. You know, I really miss you. So, and then like 2 months, she's like, why are you not telling me? Why are you not going home? Why are you not going home? And I was like, yeah. She's like, see, I told you that internet was a fad. I told you. And then I'm like, oh.
Don't you hate it when they're right sometimes and they just like rub it in your face and just like take that?
Yeah. And so it was just like that thing of like, in my head, I was like, no, the internet is not a fad. I messed up. But it's like, when you have no money now, you have, when you have such limit, and when you're living out of someone else's without, you know, under their roof, there's only so much that you can say. No matter what you want to say, you're just like, mm-hmm. But let me tell you, I've never been more motivated in my life. And so when you say, yeah, it's not a, and so what ended up happening is I learned how to advertise, tell stories, and the creative process, right? Because without that, so imagine this. Like, I really don't know if things would have changed because things were going so great. You don't really look up and, like, go any other way. When things are great, you just kind of keep going. There's no reason to, even though someone with a bigger scope or a bigger vision is like, hey, I've been there and done that before, I didn't have that experience in my life. But I was like, you can't tell me anything. This thing is great. And so from that point, I learned, okay, I want to have multiple streams of not only income, but multiple sources of advertising to sell my products. I don't want to learn that. So that's what's made me feel secure now in this time. Because before, it was just like I was so reliant upon. And I see that with, like, say it's an Amazon seller, and everything that they do is through Amazon. Or if, you know, you're a TikTok, and, like, you only focus on one thing. You don't have email lists. You don't have all these different things. I learned the hard way. And so that is what I mean. Also, like, a big lesson I tell people when you're starting it out. Yeah, master one thing. But then once you get one thing moving, you want to look for other ways to bring people into your business and then, you know, and also diversify. Because that was one of the, and I was like, I don't even imagine if that happened to me when I had, if I had kids, if I had a family support.
This is what's happening now, right? Like, this is what's happening for a lot of people. It's that moment of aha moment that you had, that wake up call and losing everything and crashing is, for a lot of people, that is a reality today. It's like forcing them to look into their lives and the way they make money and the way they do business and the way they sustain themselves and realizing that they don't have multiple streams of income. They realizing that they haven't diversified and that they have put all of their eggs in one basket. And unless, and the truth of the matter is, we can't blame people for living that way, right? The truth and human nature of it is that you don't have to look at that stuff until something drastic and and traumatic happens. And for me, it was being laid off from a job. Who ever thought like a reporter working in Detroit would be laid off? Like it never, ever crossed my mind, right? I was working for NBC at the time. But when something like that happens, it really rattles your life.
I'm Silva Harapetian. Welcome to my show. We talk ordinary people, extraordinary stories, living life on their own terms.